always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Thursday afternoon by you guys. I was going to go live a little bit earlier because I figured at some point we would get some dominoes falling as the Lakers attempt to open up some spending power and bring on their wings. I don't want to wait anymore because Jen has a 3-day weekend and we're getting close to dinner time. And so I'm just going to go live now. And then if we get any kind of breaking news, I'll pop back on here and react to it. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers' attempts to open up that money and their potential targets there. We will debate between Rui Hachimura and Jonathan Kuminga. We will discuss a name who I can't stop really thinking about in terms of how perfect he would fit on this roster as it is currently constructed, that being LeBron. And then I'll answer your guys' questions. And one of the topics that I want to hit at various points a few times over was, you know, is this team better? Like, are the Lakers as a basketball team any better or worse than they were last year? I keep landing on that they are worse, but I am, and like, I say that right now, depending on which wing they add or some final moves that they make here before everything is settled, or you know, as we wrap up the rest of the offseason. At that point, we would revisit the conversation, obviously. But right now, I'm really nervous about this roster, and I'm hoping that you guys can talk me off the ledge. So hit me with comments, hit me with questions, hit me with topics, and I will get to as many of those as I can over the course of the show. So without any further ado, we will dive on in. After a quick reminder to please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the channel and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the channel. If you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts. And yeah, until the next time, wow, I was just ending the show. Yeah, I am tired. Let's go ahead and dive on in. All right, so we start with this roster. And I think as it stands right now, the starters would be Austin, Grimes, Luka, Mamu, and obviously Kessler. That team, good rebounding team, not very good as far as foot speed. But be really concerned about point of attack defense and perimeter containment on, you know, defensively. And then, you know, coming off of the bench, you have Colin Sexton as your lead guard off of the bench. You would have Jake LaRavia coming off of your bench. You would have Adu Thero and Cam Carr coming off of the bench. And you would have DeAndre Ayton coming off of the bench as a backup center. And now, obviously, this could change. You technically have Jared Vanderbilt, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to be on the team next year. So that group, that roster, is it better or worse than it was last year? I think it fits better. I think you're like the natural roles that various guys can play, I think they make more sense for each player individually. And I think that's probably a good way of looking at this offseason or discussing this offseason. Every move within a vacuum you can explain. This is kind of a through line of all of Rob Pelinka's tenure, where you say, okay, we're looking for a stretch five who can, you know, continue with the, you know, like can compound advantages that like Luka and Austin create. We want to be able to play five out, even if it means those minutes we're going to be down pretty bad defensively. But like, you know, like who is the best stretch five realistically available on the market? And Mamu is pretty close to one of them. So you say like, yeah, in a vacuum makes a bunch of sense. In a vacuum, you're like, all right, we got it. You know, we're looking for a center who is an anchor defensively, who is a big body, who's not going to be moved by the Jokic's and the Wemby's and, you know, all of these other front courts around the league. You want this player to have good touch around the rim, ideally, and you want this player to be able to finish lobs from up above the rim. You know, as far as like options who check as many of those boxes as possible, Walker Kessler makes a bunch of sense. And if you would have told me like mid-season that the Lakers traded for Kessler and it costs a couple of first round picks, I'd be like, that seems to track, right? Hopefully the Lakers at that point would have more picks to be able to move, but like that seems to track. That seems to make more sense. So in a vacuum, that makes that's a perfectly fine decision. If you're trying to figure out like, all right, the two spot has to be a good catch and shoot threat who can also, you know, attack a little bit off of the dribble depending, you know, because of the closeouts that are created by the, you know, the creativity that Luka has and that Austin has. All right. Like Quentin Grimes, you could do worse than Quentin Grimes in that role. Makes a bunch of sense. Now, 4 years, $15 million per year, as we like deal with the, you know, like it's just tough to see the Lakers give out these four-year deals when they have spent 3 years trying to get rid of Jared Vanderbilt's 4-year contract. But regardless, you know, that's a little tough. That seems like a bit of an overpay for Quentin Grimes, but whatever. In a vacuum, it's mostly fine. But when you bring it all together, you know, and you're like, all right, well, we've already added Quentin Grimes to the group. Do we really need to add an offense first small guard? Probably not, in my opinion. Not when Kelly Oubre is signing for just slightly less than you signed Colin Sexton for. So, like, this is what's always kind of bothered me about the way that Rob Pelinka does things, is it's never like a cohesive roster that he throws together. It's never like forward thinking. There's no consistent through line as far as like the team's identity and the style of basketball that he wants the Lakers to play. It's always just kind of like a series of decent value moves and then you kind of carry it out from there. And like it would be like going to like what Jen and I will do every so often is on a day where I can go to the grocery store and just kind of pick out stuff for dinner. She'll just be like, all right, I'll tell her, all right, give me the protein. Tell me what protein you want me to get, whether it's beef or pork or fish or chicken or whatever, or poultry or whatever. And I will build out a meal from there. And if she says, all right, I want fish. All right, I'll go get some salmon and I'll show up and be like, dang, crab is cheap today. All right, I'm going to get a little crab. Wow, scallops, also really cheap. Huh, that's kind of interesting. I'll get some scallops. And then I'll look over. Huh, look at that. Pork is really cheap. Maybe I'll do a pork loin or whatever it is. And then I walk away and I'm leaving and I make a meal and Jen's like, why is it all protein? You know, it's like individually some seared scallops, some lemon pepper seared scallops sounds good. Some crispy skin salmon also sounds amazing. Some, you know, some steamed crab with, you know, with some cocktail sauce off to the side. That sounds good too. Some pork loin with like a mushroom pepper sauce dribbled over the top of it also sounds amazing. But altogether, you're like, wait, where's the vegetable? Where's the starch? It's not, it's just too much of the one thing. And the Lakers doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on offense and shooting and spacing and stuff like that. And it's what happens when that's how your president of basketball operations sees things. He's a former shooting guard. He is always going to lean offense. It's what happens when your head coach is a former shooting guard who always thinks about the game through the prism of offense first. And it's what happens when your superstar sees the game that way too, right? Everything is just, it's this, it's everything is doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on the same, you know, desires of those decision makers. And at no point did anybody seem to be like, hey guys, could we buy a potato? Could we cook up some rice? How about a risotto? Like, could we do anything that gives us any kind of defense? This is the worst defense of all the contenders, like by a lot. And we just watched a final series between the Spurs and the Knicks where those teams were absolutely bludgeoning each other defensively. The Lakers would show up for that series and would not be able to get a stop. You know, so I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. We'll see what other moves are coming, and we will see to what extent Luka, Austin, and Grimes kind of commit to playing defense. You know, maybe, you know, with the way that this roster is put together, maybe JJ Redick like convinces those guys, hey, the only way that we have any chance whatsoever of being a decent playoff team is by, you know, really committing to competing on the defensive side. Maybe the power of friendship helps you out there, but I just don't see the defensive talent on the perimeter here. And they're basically banking on Walker Kessler, like what they used to do with Anthony Davis. They're doing it all over again, where it's like, all right, we employ an elite defensive center. This guy can just make up for all the mistakes. And I think it's too much to ask against some of these high octane offenses that some of these teams have. So that's how I feel about this team. I think they are better offensively. Though I do wish they had LeBron still. I think they're better offensively. I think they fit a little bit better piece to piece offensively, but the defense is just so far below the bar of where a modern defense needs to be if you're a title contender. That and there's no like outside of trading Austin when you can move his contract, there's no path to you know acquiring impact defenders. I am very nervous about that defense in the postseason, even though I still believe this team is probably like I just did a radio hit with a betting show, and they asked me about the wins total right now sits at like 45.5. I would very confidently, if I know everybody's going to be relatively healthy, I would very confidently bet the over on 45.5 wins on this Lakers team. I think Luka by himself is good for 50 wins or whatever. I think on a night by night basis, teams aren't going to be able to defend the Lakers. They're going to be very difficult to defend. So, and as such, I think the Lakers are going to score enough that they would be able to rip off 50 wins in their sleep this season. I think they'll pretty easily win their division. Even though I'm a little nervous about Phoenix, I think they're going to be pretty good, but I'm not nervous at all about Golden State. I'm not nervous at all about the Clippers. Sacramento is always going to suck. So I think the Lakers are going to win their division, and I think they're probably going to get home court in the first round of the playoffs this year. But like after that, that's where I start to get a little nervous. And then you say like, well, you know, maybe, you know, this will be a year that they kind of build on and they look to improve next year. It's like, how? Outside of Cam Carr taking a giant leap in year two, or outside of Duth Hero taking two giant leaps in years two and three, and staying healthy, outside of that, or, you know, trading Austin and one of those guys to bring in the player who they need at that contract figure. Like, it's just, I'm really nervous about the lack of flexibility in building out this roster from here. Now we'll see which forward it is. And I think that's a good place to kind of jump off of there and discuss which forward we would prefer, with a quick kind of rehash of what the Lakers are trying to do. So the Lakers right now are very aware of the fact that they don't have a power forward, a starting power forward. I think they view Grimes, Austin, and Luka as their starting, you know, perimeter, the backcourt. So you have your, you know, and then I guess in that instance, you would have like Luka as the starting small forward. And then from there, the Lakers are kind of debating between, I think, Rui Hachimura and Jonathan Kuminga, depending on the number that they would be able to get those guys at. The case for Rui is continuity. He is an absolute laser. So you would be, you know, banking on him spacing the floor from the four spot. Whenever LeBron wasn't available, Rui started at the four and often looked really, really good. So I think offensively, it makes a whole bunch of sense. Not a good defender, or not like a pot. I think he's like a, maybe like a neutral defender overall, but not the rebounder that the Lakers would maybe like him to be. And so like, it's kind of like with Rui, it's like, you know, the behind door number one is an entity that you know, an entity that you're comfortable with. You can just, it's like, you know, in my house, we always have spaghetti. I'm hungry, which is why we have all these food analogies. But in my house, we always have the stuff to make spaghetti. And on any given night when we're like, all right, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. I don't really want to go out. We don't really have much to cook here. What do you think? And I'll be like, I could whip up some spaghetti, you know, and it's great. It winds up being good. Kids love daddy sketty. It's their favorite meal. So they're pumped. Jen and I are like, this is perfectly fine. And it's like that's Rui. Rui is, you know, whipping together some spaghetti when there isn't anything else in the pantry or in the fridge. Right. Kuminga is like a complete wild card, you know, as far as like just raw talent. Kuminga is the significantly more intriguing basketball player to me than Rui Hachimura. The concern I have about Jonathan Kuminga is that he's on the Cam Reddish trajectory, where he is unquestionably talented. Absolutely talented basketball player. He got to Atlanta last year. His first game had everybody saying like, geez, what did the Warriors just do? And then the longer that, you know, Atlanta spent around Jonathan Kuminga, they arrive at the offseason and they're like, yeah, see what other offers you can get. We're not really, they had a team option on him that they could have just picked up. It would have been perfectly fine. So they're like with Jonathan Kuminga and Rui Hachimura, with Kuminga, you're like gambling on him realizing, damn, look what direction my career is going in. You know, the Warriors got so sick of me, they traded me for Kristaps Porzingis and the worst immune system in the NBA. And then I get to Atlanta and I'm like okay there. And this young athletic team that is looking to build by way of youth athleticism and organic growth was like, we're good. Go see if you can get your $17 million that you were going to make from us elsewhere. And maybe he gets to the Lakers, and maybe, you know, by looking around at how his career has played out to this point, he realizes that, all right, I need to buy into doing 3-and-D wing things, and that is how I'll maximize my earnings from here on out. But oftentimes, as we saw with Cam Reddish, he's just like, he shows up and he beats a couple of guys one-on-one before practice starts, and nobody is taking it particularly seriously. And he plays well in October and November, and everybody's like, damn, look at this guy. And then the games start getting more serious, and there's more video, you know, that teams can utilize to prep for Jonathan Kuminga. And all of a sudden, steadily, his game gets worse and worse and worse and worse, you know? And it's like, you know, I, for me, I'm perfectly fine serving up a little spaghetti. Whereas like with Jonathan Kuminga, you look in the fridge and there's some like leftover sopita, and there's like, you know, some eggs in there. And, you know, like, look, every so often, I remember one time, you know, Jim was like, hey, what do you want to do for dinner? And I kind of looked around and I had just watched a video on how to make lemon garlic butter pasta. And I was like, well, I could try this. We have a little fresh basil that I could throw on top of there too. Sometimes you look in there and you find the right meal and you're like, damn, that turned out great. And maybe that's how this turns out with Jonathan Kuminga. But then there are other times where you're like, I wish we would have done spaghetti. You know, actually my kids ate that pasta and they're like, daddy, can we do spaghetti next time? And my youngest didn't even eat it. So I don't know. I understand the amount of confidence in Jonathan Kuminga has. He's young, he's athletic, he is unquestionably talented, but I just really fear that he's a loser. I really fear that this dude just doesn't get what it takes to, you know, help a team win basketball games, what it takes to be a part of a positive culture. And those guys great on entire teams. And even though I think Kuminga is the more talented basketball player, if I had to choose just between those two players, I would probably just go with Rui. Give me that daddy stamp.